In previous podcasts for this year, I have talked about habits and the nature of thought. And today on Ask Dr. Gill, I want to discuss basically where you feel you're at with your newfound habits and maybe why you're having trouble creating new pathways in your system. So we'll talk about this from a biological level as well as a mental emotional level. So stay tuned. Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the show, I want to discuss how you're doing with your habit and new habits in your life, because I think that there is an aspect of this that is very interesting. And I purposefully put this podcast sort of a few months away from the initial one where I talked about forming new habits, because generally what happens is people start the year, as an example, and say, oh, I'm going to do X, whatever that is. I'm going to start a new exercise routine, or I'm going to stop drinking or stop smoking, or I'm going to be more organized in school or at work. And what ends up happening, of course, is for most people, they go back to being their old selves and the old habits return. And there's a very interesting set of ideas of what happens with this. And there are some really good books about this. And I actually thought about writing a book about this, and there's better books about this. So a couple of thoughts for you if you're interested in this. Joe Dispenza wrote a book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, which is a good explanation in terms of the quantum mechanics around it. And I'm going to go a little bit into that because I very much appreciate that Dr. Dispenza is one of the people out there talking about how our bodies are quantum events as opposed to just mechanistic things. And you know, we're not just machines. So, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And that might be worth another podcast as well, but we'll get back to that in a minute. The other book is called The Power of Habit, which is, I think, by Charles Duhigg is how you pronounce his name. It is a fantastic explanation of habits, both from a personal level, as well as like societal and organizational levels, because we get stuck into this, if you will, a flywheel of continuing things over and over and over again. And breaking out of that is a problem. So, but I'm not going to talk about it from a societal level today. I think that's important. And I think that, you know, there are things about our society that we definitely want to change. That's not the topic today. So it's more on the personal level. And for you listening, this is, you know, if you're interested in changing things in the way society is working, be the change that you want to see in the world, as Gandhi said, because I think that is a very important piece to this. And part of the problem that we run into with changing our habits is that we go back to our old habitual lifestyle as well. So as an example, if you're a smoker and you want to stop smoking, you may take smoke breaks with the same people at work, you know, every day. And so if you stop, then you don't have the experience of having the break with those people. And so there's a cultural aspect to continuing your habits. And I think being aware of that is important. And it's not that you're shunning the people. It's that you're shunning the habit. And that's the piece that I think becomes challenging for a lot of people. So keep that in mind as part of this thing. And that's not to blame the people, by the way. You are still making the choice to go on the smoke break with them. But that's your choice. And sometimes that requires you to make a different choice. And sometimes that requires you to shun certain people around you. And I've talked to patients who are alcoholics, and this is incredibly difficult for them because a lot of their social circle is at the bar. And, you know, a few of them, the way that they dealt with that is they would order a soda water. And that was all they'd drink, is soda water. And they would watch everyone else get drunk. And that was very eye-opening for them. So I want to kind of pivot here, because one of the, in fact, I think it was the last podcast I did, was on meditation. And that was by design, because when we are trying to change something within ourselves, we need to be aware of what is going on, not just in terms of the behavior, but in terms of the thought processes behind the habit. Because generally speaking, a habit is, by definition, something that we have programmed ourselves to do. And part of that program is thought-based and emotionally based. And then there's a behavior behind it. And it's not like you're going to sit there and think about necessarily all of the things that happened to you as a child and all of the thoughts that you're having that came up as well, that led to you doing that particular habit. And the reason is that you can't, that I don't recommend doing that, is most of that stuff was instilled before your brain was fully functional in the beta state. And so and I'll explain that in a minute. And so you don't have the cognitive capability to solve that problem. And as Einstein says, that it's very rare for problems to be solved at the level that they are created. I would say that's very much true for the brain. It's not like you're going to think yourself out of the habit, because you can't, because the habit is something that is programmed in a different part of your brain anyway, if you will. So one of the interesting things about habits that The Power of Habit talks about is that oftentimes habits exist within a part of our brain that is different than our thought processes. And this is why there are people who have had pretty severe head traumas and have no memory of their surroundings necessarily. Like, they don't necessarily know, if you ask them to describe where to go to the bathroom, they would not be able to tell you, but they would move their body to do it and be able to do that. And that's because those are two different parts of the brain. And I think I talked about this in one of the other podcasts, that it's like when you drive home and after work and you get home and you're like, had no recollection of what you had just done. And so what we want to do, and what meditation can be good for, is recognizing those clips that are happening. And I'm calling these clips, they're like little mini programs that are running in our heads, where we can see what is happening. And part of the experience of that is not mental necessarily. It's not thinking about what the thoughts are, although that can be part of it. It's also experiencing the emotional and physical state of that. And here's the important piece. Our bodies are basically an accumulation of all of the things that have happened to us in the past. So, for example, when you're learning to drive, it's not like you know right away how to hold the steering wheel. I remember when I was teaching my son to drive, he almost drove into a wall, which was 5 feet away. And it was amazing to me. He had no idea how to hold the steering wheel and how to think about it and move slowly to know if the steering wheel was pointing in the correct direction, if the wheels were pointing in the correct direction. But that's something that you don't know until you know it. And it's a big piece of driving and learning any new thing is you don't know what you don't know. And your body doesn't know what it doesn't know. And so there's a programming, and it's something that you have to think about before you start doing it so that you can not have to think about it, because it would be very tiring to have to think about it. So we're going to take a short break, and on the other end of the show, at the other end, I'm going to talk about what you need to do to instill the new habits, because I think that is the piece that is incredibly important for us and why we are struggling with creating new habits. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Gil Winkelman, your host of Ask Dr. Gil. And before I continue, I just want to remind everyone that if you like the show, please subscribe either on Spotify or Apple or YouTube. And if you really like the show, please leave a review, because that is helpful for me. And I really, really appreciate it if you would. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to email at info@askdrgill.com, askdrgil.com. I may be trying to add people to the show and do other shows. I have received a few emails about this, and they haven't been appropriate, mostly because they're trying to sell a particular product or service, and I'm trying to get more ideas as opposed to particular products is the thing, because I don't want to endorse anything in particular. That's not what I'm about here yet. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment. But if you have ideas for shows, for sure, send them my way. So. All right, so how do you instill new habits? And, you know, you've learned to drive, and here's a great example. So when my kids were going through driver's ed, when I was going through driver's ed, and when my kids were going through driver's ed, we learned very different things. And one of the things that was super interesting to me is when I was going through driver's ed, I was told to hold the wheel at 10 and 2. So if you're looking at, if the wheel is a clock, the right hand goes on at 2 o'clock, the left hand goes on at 10 o'clock. And my kids were told, do not do that. You were going to hold it at 4 and 8. So you're basically holding the wheel low. And it's really actually interesting, the reason for that, which has to do with airbags, because airbags come out of the steering wheel. And if you're holding the wheel at 10 and 2 and you crash, you will have both of your arms broken And so if you are down at 4 and 8, they will not get broken. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And of course, I learned to drive on very windy roads in the hills of Los Angeles. So 4 and 8 would have been really difficult, in my opinion, to learn how to drive there, particularly the car I was learning how to drive in, which, by the way, did not have airbags. In fact, the car I learned how to drive in didn't even have 3-point belts because it was a really old car, but that's a whole other story. And it's like my having to relearn how to do 4 and 8 for myself so that I could set an example for my children and not be harassed by them every time I was driving them anywhere, it was very, you know, kind of an interesting experience for me. And, you know, as part of this, I had to really think about it. And there was something odd, for lack of a better way of saying it, in my arms as I was holding the steering wheel. And by the way, I'll just make a little comment aside here, is that many of us are just hold the steering wheel with one arm at 12 o'clock. And, you know, that's another habit that probably is good to break because there's very little control of the car, you know, relative to holding it with two arms. But for some of you, if you drove a manual, that's what you did because your other arm, your right arm, if you were in the United States, was on the stick shift. And, you know, that's kind of what you learn to do. And I did drive a stick for some years, for many, many years as well. So, but anyway, it's, you know, these are the things that you have to think about. And as you're trying to do this and learn these new habits, it's like, oh man, it's really hard. So how can you like cheat, if you will, to learn these new habits? Well, what's really interesting about this, and Joe Dispenza's book talks about this, and this is kind of the point of the podcast to a large extent, is that mentally rehearsing the experience is the same in terms of functionality as doing it. What are you saying, Dr. Gill? What I'm saying is that when they've done experiments with people who have, and this is done with athletes, professional athletes in particular, the athletes that did the reps and the athletes that imagined doing the reps, whatever the sport was, had the same impact on the brain as if they had done the reps or if they had imagined doing the reps. In other words, mentally rehearsing what you're doing is almost just as good as actually doing it. And the reason why mentally rehearsing may be better is that you're not fighting your muscle memory to unlearn the old habits. You're using your brain to imagine yourself doing what you need to be doing. And I can tell you from my own experience that when I've been learning how to do whatever I've, you know, usually a sport. So surfing, golf, and hockey are the three that I have done the most in my life. And when I've watched either videos or professionals doing what I would like to do, that watching has been very important to gaining the new habit that I'm trying to form. Except for ice skating. I'm still a terrible ice skater, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, for surfing, it's definitely helped. And the interesting thing is that this is part of the reason why professional athletes watch game film. And it's not just to see what the other team is doing. It's also to correct their own bad habits. And in fact, that's in hockey, this is how they can often, a lot of teams will draft players who have amazing hockey IQs and good, certain skills are good, but their skating might not be as good. They will take a risk on that player because they are more sure that they can teach that player how to skate better through this process. And it's interesting to me because I've, you know, there's been a number of players who are actually have done really, really well who were drafted low because of that. And it's kind of intriguing to me that that's the case. Golf is really interesting in that way too. It's just, you know, golf and I would say golf and surfing, the variable is the environment, right? So there are situations with surf, like no two waves are ever the same. And so, you know, but knowing what your body needs to do over time, you start to gain that muscle memory as well. And you know, oftentimes with like with a particular, I'll use surfing as an example. When I was learning to surf, and even I still do this now, when I surf and I am doing a wave, I will think about what the wave did so that goes into my memory of what I will need to do the next time I get a wave that's similar. And this is part of the new habit forming. And so how does this apply if you're trying to quit smoking, for example? Well, if you're experiencing, so you can imagine yourself, for example, feeling a feeling and allowing the feeling to go through you. So, and this is where knowledge is really important. Because if you know that and I'm going to use a lame example for a second, but if you start thinking about your mom, you get anxious and then you pick up a cigarette and you go out and smoke, you can notice that behavior thought loop. And then you can meditate on, okay, so I'm having this belief system, you know, this thought come up. I'm going to do something else. I'm not going to smoke the cigarette. I'm going to do something else. It's not that you're thinking, don't smoke, don't smoke. You're instilling something different in there. And so whether it's going for a walk or sitting down and meditating or chewing gum, whatever it is, that's what you're instilling so that you begin to create a new pattern that's in there. Because ultimately, neurons that wire together fire together. The reverse is also true. Neurons that don't fire together will unwire. And so over time, that's how the new habit gets installed. And it, you know, this is why going to the gym, not necessarily every day, but, you know, having a pattern, if that's what you're going to do, you go regularly so that you then begin to create the new pattern in your brain. And so that's kind of the idea behind this. So that's what I got today. I hope this was helpful for you. And, you know, definitely check out those books. I am actually considering, and I would love to hear from people if they would be interested in this, but considering putting together either a course or an online workshop. I suppose I could do an in-person workshop, but that's going to be down the road. That will help people learn how to break their habits and create new ones. Because I think this is a very important part of medicine and where the medical field is basically falling apart. Because the habit that we're being taught is we have a symptom, you take a pill, and that's it. Whatever the symptom is, you take the pill. And that's the habit that we're creating. That's not enough. That's not enough to move how people are increasing health. And my ultimate goal, just so you know, for people is that they feel joy and that their lives are full. That's what it's about. That's what everyone I think wants. So if you're interested in this, feel free to send me an email at info@askdrgill.com. I'd really love to know, or put a comment down below, you know, saying, yes, I'm interested in this, so that I know if people are wanting to do this, because otherwise, you know, obviously if no one's interested, I won't do it. So anyway, I hope you have a great rest of your day. You take care.